Hi everyone, and welcome to Who's He at the Movies. And this time, I'm going to be taking a look at one of my favourite British horror films, 1957's Night of the Demon. Starring Dana Andrews, Peggy Cummings and Niall McGuinness, this film is based on the M.R. James story, The Casting of the Runes. Now, if you don't know who M.R. James is, and I could dedicate an episode to him alone, he was famous for his ghost stories, usually based around a naive academic who would awaken an ancient evil or spirit through either professional curiosity or sometimes arrogance. And yes, James' Cast of the Runes also follows this format. However, with Night of the Demon being made in the 1950s, this was the age of the atom. So instead of a stuffy British academic, we have an American psychologist. A lot of horror or science fiction films made in this period often featured a square-jawed scientist as the hero. Out were gun-toting, hard-boiled protagonists, and in were scientists, played by actors who were quite honestly looked more at home playing hard-boiled, gun-toting heroes. But what is this film about? Well, Dr. John Holden, an American square-jawed psychologist played by Dana Andrews, arrives in Britain to investigate and expose occultist Julian Carswell, played by Niall McGuinness, as a charlatan. But after one of Holden's British colleagues is killed by a fiery demon and Holden dismissing Carswell's powers as nothing more than cheap magic tricks, he soon realises that Carswell's powers are real. With Carswell having placed a curse on Holden by slipping him a piece of paper containing ancient runes, Holden must find out how to break the curse before the demon also claims him as his next victim. I bloody adore this film. By modern standards, it's very tame. Of course, being the 1950s and not being a Hammer film, there is no blood on show, and neither are there many jump scares. However, what it does have is plenty of atmosphere. Directed by French-American filmmaker Jacques Tourneur, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, who also directed the equally atmospheric horror Cat People, he wanted this film to not show the demon, as he wanted all audiences to not be certain as to whether they actually saw the demon or not. However, the demon's appearance was down to producer Hal E. Chester, who basically shot the footage without Tourneur's knowledge. An atmospheric horror film was not on Chester's agenda, which led to a lot of friction between him and Tourneur during the making of the film. But the demon is what fascinated about this film in the first place. Going back to 1977, I was in junior school, and that year we had a book club. It wasn't really a club as such, but what it did have was a catalogue which the kids could buy a book at a discounted rate. And I chose a book about horror films. Unfortunately, I no longer have this book, and I can't even remember the name of it. But what I do remember is that it was a paperback and featured numerous photographs of creatures from old horror films, mainly ones from RKO and Universal Pictures, with a page dedicated to explaining what the monster was and what film it came from. And in the book was a picture of the demon. I love the look of it, but to the best of my knowledge, it was hardly ever shown on British television, so I never actually got to see the film until I was in at least my 30s. But when I did finally see it, I was mesmerised. It could have easily fallen into the trap of being a trashy B-movie full of cheap scares and the demon being overused throughout. Despite the demon being shown at the beginning of the movie, we get a steady build-up as Dana Andrews' character slowly begins to realise that the demon is coming after him and tracks up Carswell's other followers who have had the runes cast against them as well. Now, Dana Andrews. At this point in his career, he was somewhat on the downward slope. But in what seemed to be a trend in British horror films of the 1950s, fading Hollywood stars were often cast to boost the chances of a film's success. So Andrews was cast as the lead, just like Brian Don Levy, another American actor who had seen better days, was cast or miscast as the most British of characters, Professor Bernard Quatermass in the Quatermass Experiment and Quatermass 2. But what does make me giggle is that the arrival in Britain of Andrews' character, Holden, is front page news in the film. Like scientists were rock stars before Elvis Presley got his first twitch in his hips.
Oh.
Holden is also a very unlikable character. Smug, arrogant, and oh so sure that anything that isn't science is pure hokum. And the viewer will most likely enjoy seeing him being torn limb from limb by the demon.
Today I found the parchment in the concert program Carswell gave me. It had runic symbols drawn on it.
That's not mysterious. Runic symbols are the oldest form of an alphabet. They're found carved on ancient stones like Like hieroglyphics. Well, they're supposed to have magic powers. They don't.
I would like to think this is by design rather than Dana Andrews unwittingly portraying him that way. Either way, though, I really enjoy his performance and watching his reaction as everything he believes is proven wrong. However, I must add that Holden's incredulity and refusal to believe the strange events that happened to him does get a bit tiresome, and at points, I just wanted to give him a slap. With the mention of strange events, this leads me onto the character of Carswell, played by Noel McGuinness. A man of wealth and influence, only made possible by his connection to the occult, he is not your standard movie villain. He does not lust after the leading lady, nor does he have an army of henchmen at his disposal. In actual fact, he's a bit of a mummy's boy. A middle-aged man who lives in a mansion with his mother and puts on magic shows to the local kids as Uncle Bobo the Clown. But of course, this is all a facade. He rules people through fear and intimidation, and like Holden, he's very sure of himself. And Noel McGuinness plays the role really well. One moment avuncular, the next menacing. It's a very understated performance, which perhaps in lesser hands would be a cackling megalomaniac.
Oh, why did you drop the poker?
It's red hot.
Which isn't, you know. Oh, my boy, you're as pale as death.
There was something in here.
Oh, nothing to worry you. Just a minor demon I set to protect the room. Nothing like the real thing when you meet it.
It may have been minor, but it had claws and teeth.
Oh, claws and teeth. Did you bite the man? Oh, shame I don't keep you as a watch cat. I left the book in full sight for him. His name's Grimalkin. A very fashionable name for English cats in the Middle Ages. They were used in witchcraft, you know.
It was not that cat.
Oh, yes, it was. You must have awakened him. You shouldn't have, in the time of the full moon, when cats wander and witches dance. Oh, yes, they do dance. I've seen them.
I must also mention Peggy Cummings as Joanna Harrington, the niece of Holden's murdered colleague. Refreshingly for a film of this period, she is not a damsel in distress. Determined to get to the bottom of how her uncle died, she is headstrong and resilient, and gets increasingly frustrated with Dinah Andrews' character as he dismisses everything he is confronted with.
You see, Miss Harrington, the shock of finding her uncle dead.
Please don't treat me like a mental patient who has to be humoured. I also majored in psychology.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
You could learn a lot from children. They believe in things in the dark until we tell them it's not so. Maybe we've been fooling them. Good night, Dr. Holden.
The film is also populated with various British character actors of the period, such as Percy Herbert, Liam Redmond and Reginald Beckwith. However, the one standout is Brian Wilde as Hobart. Yes, the Brian Wilde of Last of the Summer Wine and Porridge fame. Here he is one of Carswell's previous victims who managed to escape the curse placed upon him. Driven out of his mind by fear, Professor Holden tries to unlock his memories through hypnosis, which ultimately gives Holden the knowledge to rid himself of the curse placed upon him. Brian Wilde gives an over-the-top hysterical performance, but here, that type of performance works. I mean, who wouldn't be driven mad with fear by a giant demon chasing after them? Which leads me, finally, to the demon itself. As I said at the beginning, the director did not want the demon to be shown, but was ultimately overruled by the film's producer. And while I do like the demon and remain fascinated by its image since I was a child, I can see the director's point. The still image I saw as a 7-year-old belies the fact that the demon was brought to life as a puppet. The close-up shots of the demon's face are quite effective, but when viewed from a distance as it chases its victims, it looks exactly what it is. A puppet. However, the use of sound and visual effects before the demon appears is extremely well done, and perhaps it might have been best to have left it at that. A huge ball of smoke and fire chasing its victim would on its own be just as scary as showing the demon itself. However, monsters put bums on seats, so I can see the producer's point of view as well, and it also makes for a striking image for the film's poster. So then, did this film put bums on seats? Well, unfortunately, it didn't exactly set the box office alight. Also, when released in America, it was cut from 96 minutes to 83 minutes and renamed Curse of the Demon. The reason for this was that the film studio didn't want the film to be confused with Night of the Iguana. I really don't know why film studios seem to think that US audiences are too stupid to tell films apart just because their titles are a little bit similar, or not being able to understand what a word means. For example, the James Bond film License Revoked had its title changed to License to Kill because apparently no one in the US would know what the word revoked meant. Anyway, I think Night of the Demon is a taut and extremely well-made horror film. Okay, the demon might look a bit naff by modern standards, but it is used sparingly and the film does not lack atmosphere. So, Turn down the lights, settle back, and just enjoy a really good horror film from a more simpler time when scientists were front page news. Oh, and remember, don't accept slips of paper with runic symbols on them. Otherwise, you'll end up with a demon pursuing you through a copse. Or for those of you in America, chase through the trees.